It's this time every year that we come to our dating, relationship, love, sex, and dating series. And, you know, that can be something encouraging to you. It can be something you moan about. It can be a lot of different things. But the truth that I found about it is it's something that touches every one of us to multiple levels. None of us are able to get around it for good or for bad. And I think it's one of those truths that I feel like I need to be reminded of every year in my life. And that's why we do it every year. And we try to take different angles on each year so it doesn't always feel like the same thing. And I think this year it's called God's Wisdom on Relationships. We're going to hit a couple different areas. Today I'm going to be talking about like singleness and friendship. Bob's going to be talking next week about what does it look like to date and what's some areas, some biblical wisdom on that. We're going to get into the idea, you know, ideas of marriage and what that should be like, and so how to stay pure. So our goal in this is just to bring God's truth to you each year on this subject because it's something that impacts each and every one of us to some degree or another. So my heart and my just asking you would that your heart would be open, you would hear, you would take whatever truth it is that God wants you to hear from it. And I want to pray right now, and then we'll kick things off. Lord, I thank you that you haven't left us alone in this area of relationships, God, that you've given us your wisdom and your truth on this. And so, God, I pray that the words that I say, God, really don't let them be just Lee's wisdom, but to be your wisdom from your word and your truth. And God, let us hear it and apply it to our lives so that we can glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, today I want to talk about this area of singleness and being single and friendship. And before I dive into this, I got a video I want to show you guys. I'll show it to you in just a second. And you know, we got a lot of great single guys in this group. You know, a lot of really, really good looking guys. And so I wanted to, yeah, it's true. So I got a bunch of the guys together, and we made this kind of like online dating thing for you ladies, because we want you ladies to be able to see what our guys are like and really be able to get it, okay? So let's check this video. All right, well, I might get fired after this Sunday. You may never see me again. Sorry, that was obviously not any of our Gap guys. Total joke, but I did find that online. It was some like 80s. On like dating thing on TV. So anyways, I guess that's true. I don't know. Anyways, okay, it's always good to start things off and be funny, okay, when you talk about serious things. So, but being honest, the Bible has a lot to say about relationships, and it has a lot to say about marriage. And so there's no doubt that because the Bible has so much to say about marriage specifically, that it is one of the, it is in my, what I believe, because of what God's word says, that it is the building block of society. And it is what most people, a lot of us will end up doing. Most of us will end up getting married, and that's a good thing. But you know, the thing is, the Bible never refers to being single or to not being married as second class or second best. And I think that's what's cool in really studying this and studying this for the first time in depth for me. It was neat to see that the Bible in no way refers to being single, not being married, as second best or second class. The time of not being married / dating is a great time. And there's a lot of cool things that happen in that. So I just want to give you two things to think about. Two really awesome guys in the Bible were single their entire lives as far as we know. Jesus, single, right? Did some awesome things. And Paul, single, probably considered one of the greatest characters in the Bible for his great faith, was totally single. Here's what 2 Corinthians, can you go to the next slide? I'm trying to click this thing, but it's not working. There you go. 2 Corinthians 7:7 says, this is Paul writing. He says, "I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has the gift, another has that." And what Paul is talking about there is he's talking about marriage and he's talking about being single. And he ultimately says to those that he's writing to in Corinth, he says, "I wish that you were like me, that you had the gift." He considers it a gift of being single. I know a lot of us would not consider being single a gift, but Paul does. And that's actually, Jesus refers to it as this, we're going to look at in a little bit. Does anybody have any extra sheets left over from their table? Because I think we have some that might need some. So we got some extras here. Jen will come and grab them, and we'll pass them around. Give her a second to do that. Yeah, who needs them? Who needs something? You want? We need a couple over there. Who, raise your hand if you need a sheet. You don't have one. All right, there we go. All right. Anybody else? Raise your hand, need a sheet? Just because you're raising one doesn't say you want to be single, okay? It's okay to get a sheet. Okay, so let me jump back into it. So the gift of singleness. The gift of singleness, it could be for some people. Who of you guys have ever heard of Nancy Lee DeMoss? Any of you guys ever heard of Nancy Lee DeMoss? She's a Christian woman speaker. She's really great. And she, for the longest time, she didn't get married until she was in her 50s. She said, she's like, I had the gift of singleness. She genuinely wanted to be single. She did not want to be married, and she considered it a gift. Now, it wasn't until her 50s that God changed the way and had her get married. But the gift of singleness, it can be for a season, but we don't know how long that season could be. For some of you, it could be later into life, different than you expected. For some of you, it could be shorter than you expected. But the truth is, I think this is what God wants us to understand about when it comes to being single, however long that is in your life that you're not married, is that God wants us to accept it as a gift and to enjoy it. And that's hard to take in, because a lot of times when our expectations aren't met, we have a hard time really enjoying something. And so God says, well, I want to set your expectation different. He says, if I have you single for however long it is, he says, I want you to take that as a gift. I want you to accept it. I want you to enjoy it. And what's interesting, and this is one of the blanks on your thing, is that the gift is in the eyes of the beholder. That's on your sheet. The gift is in the eyes of the beholder. So I'll give you a quick story on this. God always gives me cool examples when I find stuff for free on the sides of the road, and about the gift is in the eyes of the beholder. So when we were going on this one of these bike trip training rides, I was leaving my house, and I was getting off at Wax Pool, so I was going over the big exit, and this was at like 1 in the afternoon, 2 in the afternoon, and I'm going over the exit, and I see this like big chunk of metal on the side of the road, and I was like, oh, that looks like, as I'm going past, I'm like, that looks like one of those bike racks that goes in the back of a car, like in a hitch. It looks kind of nice. So I was like, when I get done with the ride, I got to go look at that, because I love picking up free stuff on the side of the road. And ask my wife. She's actually getting into it now. She bought a dresser on the other day, right, or a drawer, anyways. So I get done with the ride, I forget about it, I go back home. Well, it was the same night we were having the Acts 2, so I leave, and I come back, and go to the Acts 2, and then I'm coming home, and I'm coming down Wax Pool again. I'm like, oh yeah, that bike thing, I think it might be there. I want to see that. So this is like 10 o'clock at night. So I get on 28, get off Sterling Boulevard, come back around, get over the exit, coming over the hill, I'm like, oh, I think it's gone. So I come over, I'm like, oh, it's still there. So I pull over, put on my blinkers. It's like 10 at night. I'm like, well, if they hit my car, they'll hit the car and they won't hit me. So it's behind me. So I'll be all right. So I get it. And it is. It's like a nice bike rack that goes in the back of a hitch. Like a few pieces were broken, right? And the idea was, how many people would pass that and thought, oh, how stupid is that? I don't want that. But the gift is in the eyes of the beholder. If you're willing to see what it is that God has for you, it can be something special. And that's something that I wanted. And so in the area of singleness, it's that same way. God says, will you see that it's a gift that I have for you? For some of you in high school right now, God said to you, be single. Don't get into the dating arena. God says, that's a gift that I have for you that I want you to enjoy. And I think it's cool that God considers all phases of life as a gift. And I had never thought about it like this, but God considers all phases of life as a gift. So he considers singleness as we read this. Paul says, that's a gift. And it's kind of interesting. Look at this next verse. Tried to click it, but it ain't working. There you go. Marriage, Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. I would say that's a gift. Finds what is good. So God considers when you're single, it's a gift. When he brings you to the season of marriage, he says that it's a gift. And then look, for children, he says, Psalm 127:3, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. So I think it's cool that all these different stages, when we think of relationships and marriage, God says each and every one of these, however long that season is of your life, it is a gift from him to be enjoyed. Matthew 19:11 says this. I'm going to read it up here. It says, Jesus replied. And so Jesus is, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, have asked him about this idea of marriage and divorce. And he says, Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. The disciples said to him, if this is the situation between a husband and a wife, it is better not to marry. Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. So again, he's saying, this is a gift that has been given. So to some of you, the gift is right now. You may not realize it. Maybe today it's the first time you've realized it, that God says right now in your life, I have a time of singleness for you. I don't want you to date. I don't want you to pursue relationships. I want you to just wholeheartedly pursue me. So Jesus again is saying, it's a gift to be given. Some of you are like, I don't want that gift. Well, sometimes you get gifts that you don't exactly want, but they end up being a gift. Like one time my grandma for Christmas gave me a calculator, and I was like, why would I want a calculator? But then I ended up using it in school, okay? So you didn't want it at first, but you ended up using it. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. I think that's pretty cool, because what Jesus is saying here is he's saying those who choose it, who choose to be single for a time, for a period, for a lifetime, who are those who choose it, they choose it for the kingdom of God. That's the other thing that I really was impressed by as I was studying this, was the idea that in all aspects, whether it be singleness, dating, marriage, God says, ultimately, I want it all to be for the kingdom of God. And so he says, if you've chosen it, or if it's God's chosen to be you, he says, it is for the kingdom of God. It's not because we want to be more holy, we want to look more holy and not be able to say, well, I don't date, I don't pursue relationships or anything. God says, ultimately, I want it to be for me and for my kingdom. So Jesus lays it out there. It's not to be more righteous, or because, oh, I just don't like the opposite sex, they're annoying, but because you can serve the kingdom of God more wholeheartedly. More wholeheartedly. So Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says this, I would like for you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. So it's a reality that being single allows you to live an undivided devotion and wholeheartedly to the Lord. For those of us that are married in this room, we'll understand that. We'll get that because we've seen both sides. We've seen when we were single and that we didn't have the attentions of a family. And again, marriage is the building block of society, but God kind of holds both of these in the same way. And he says, I got this thing for marriage and it's great and it's a building block of society and I've got you here. And then I've also got this area of singleness and it's good. And it's for the Lord, and it's so that you can serve him wholeheartedly. The idea is that none of us know how long the gift of singleness may be for us. Just like, here's the truth, the married person does not know how long the gift of marriage will last. I never thought about that. We don't know how long the season of singleness will last, but the truth is we don't know how long the season of marriage will last. God can call, for those of us that are married, our spouses home at any time. So, from God's word, whether we're single or married, we are to live wholeheartedly to the Lord in that situation until the day that we die or God changes it. So God says, while you're single, right now in high school, and I don't know, for some of you, I feel like I'm talking maybe a little bit above the level. For some of you, I'm talking right on the same level. But I pray this is truth that you're packing away or you're applying right now. God says, whether you're single right now, I want you to pursue me while you're single wholeheartedly, with your whole heart, with every single being that you, part that you have inside of you. I want you to pursue me in that. And then he says, when I take you to the season of marriage, in the same way, I want you to pursue me wholeheartedly. So God says, give me your all. Because I'm one, I'm the one that deserves it. And two, I designed you. I created you. I know how I want you to live. But see, the question, I think the question that needs to be asked for all of us, but if you're in this time of singleness, I think this is the question to be asked. How can I take most advantage of my time of being single? So again, don't know how long the season is, but the question to ask is, for you in high school right now, how can you take the most advantage of the time that you have right now, that you are single, you don't have the worries of being married or being even in a dating relationship? How can you take most advantage of that? I want to give you a couple ideas. There's a lot more, but here's a couple. First one is, and I've been talking about it, just be totally engrossed in God's kingdom. I mean, you've got time on your hands. You don't have to, per se, you don't have to worry about anybody else. So be totally devoted to it. You know, some of you that you serve up in Quest, you serve in Awanas, you are serving God's kingdom wholeheartedly. You want to take part in things that we do during the summer at church. I'm just saying, serve the Lord. Just go, Lord, how can I serve you? Whether it be at church, whether it be outside of church, serve God's kingdom wholeheartedly. Because you have the time, you have the ability to do that. But the second one that you might not think about, but the way that you can take most advantage of your time of being single is this. Be others-centered. So here's the challenge and blessing of being single. The blessing is you don't have to worry about anybody else, right? When you wake up in the morning, what you think about is, what do I got to do? How do I get ready for my day? What's the things I'm going to do today? So that's the blessing. Do you know what the challenge of being single is? You don't have anybody to worry about, right? So the curse is, the blessing is you don't have anybody to worry about. The curse is you don't have anybody to worry about. So it's really easy to be single-minded, to be single-focused, and be self-centered and thinking, I got to figure out what I want to do, what I got to do. And so I think the way that you take most advantage of it is, Lord, you want me to be other-centered. Show me how to do that today, right now, during my week, during my life. How do I be others-centered? So I think a practical application of that is just looking at your schedule and going, how much of my time is all about me? And maybe where am I serving and giving of even my money, my talents, my time? And so just taking a simple evaluation of that and going, okay, Lord, I got this time. Let me use it for you and let it not be all about me. And just a third way, and again, there's more, but right now, you know, find out what are your spiritual gifts. The Bible talks about each of us have different talents, but we specifically have different spiritual gifts that God's given us. There's a lot of tests you can go online and take that and figure out what they are. But right now, figure out, what gifts do you have for me? Like, what spiritual gifts do I have so that I can serve you? And find those out and then go after them wholeheartedly into it. So I think that's the cool encouragement that Paul is giving from the verses that we just read. As he's saying, if you are single, it's so that you can be wholeheartedly consumed with God's kingdom and what he wants. My question would be, how can you, if you're single, how can you challenge people who are in relationships as you're single? In the sense of, look at me, look how much I can serve. Not to make them jealous or anything like that, but just to go, there is a truth that when you're single, you can really serve and love people and be other-centered. Can you make them jealous of your godly life of service? And not in a bad way, but just in a good way of going, man, you know, the world says you should be in a relationship. I know that's the pressure that you all feel. I know that's what you feel. But I think today, hear this, being single is a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. Being single is a good thing. They're at the same level in the Bible. They are not different. Culture might tell you that they are. They're not. God has them at the same level. Enjoy them. Take part in it. So I think singleness comes really to this point, though, that we got to understand. It all comes back to contentment. Ultimately, it makes its way back to contentment. Am I content where God has me? Because here's the thing, no matter where you get to in life, you might not think this now. You might think, if I could just get in a relationship, I would be so happy. I would have it all. I would get it. And the problem is, you get into a relationship, and then you look at your friends around you that aren't in relationships, and you go, man, their life seems a lot more easy than mine at times, right? And then, I say this very carefully, but Then you get married, and after you're married for a while, we see all your friends having kids, and you're like, I need a child. I need a child. I'm not happy if I don't have a child, right? And then once you have a child, you're like, I need a bigger house. My house is not big enough for all these kids. Do you see the pattern is? It's always this pattern of continuing. And God says, wherever you are, right here, right now, will you find contentment? And, you know, it's interesting what God does in the times where he doesn't give you exactly what you want. I think if we did a survey and we asked you, all of you, I think probably at least 75% of you would say, if God would present a relationship before me, I would take it. And I'm not downing you for that. I think it's a natural thing that we have, is that we want to do that. But what you may not realize is that God has you in this time of singleness in your life because he wants to do some cool things in you. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to grow you. He wants you to be others-centered. He wants you to be fully about him. And sometimes when we learn to be content, we see that God has a reason for things. You know, for Wendy and I, as much as we want to have our own natural kids, if we would have had our own natural kids, we would have never pursued fostering. And if we would have never pursued that, Joshua would have never come before us. And at this moment in time, which we haven't made this announcement, but it looks about 99% sure we're going to be able to adopt Joshua. So what I'm saying is, you don't always see what God's doing. And you might be right here today going, in your mind, you're just, I want a relationship so bad. And God goes, I've got something for you in this time of singleness. Will you be content in me? Will you trust me for what I have? And you might not know what he's leading you on that path to, but God's saying, will you be content? And ultimately, it's this question is, what relationship is more important to you? Is it human relationships? Are they the most important things to you? Or is your relationship with God the most important? Because if that relationship with God that is eternal is most important, that will guide all areas of your life. And God will bring you to the point that he wants you to bring you to. And you can trust in him. So I'm going to do a little Mythbusters today. I was telling Wendy as I was studying for this, I had a couple different revelations, but I think this is the biggest like epiphany revelation that I had. And you guys are like, oh no, what's he going to say? So a little Mythbust. Oh, this is cool. I forgot about this. When I was doing a little study, I was looking on Nancy Lee DeMoss's website, and she had this transcripts from the different radio shows she did. And there was this lady, Caroline McCulley was on there, and she's single, she's in like her 50s, she wants to be married, but at the same time, she found contentment in being single, and she said this, I found there is sweetness in those lonely periods at times because it forces you to say, why am I so restless? What is going on in my heart? What am I thinking? What are my expectations? It forces you to stop and think, and that should direct your focus to the Lord. Sometimes it also directs our focus to other people. So it's the idea that what's God doing this time in your life? You know, maybe you're just, much as I want a relationship, God's going, will you stop right now? Will you focus on me? Will you ask me what it is that I have for you? So, Mythbusters. Here's the advice that, and I've said this so many times. And some of you probably think, This is true, and in a way, this is true. But this is the advice you get when you're single a lot. Okay, this is the advice: become the person you want to marry. If I had a dollar for every time I heard that at Liberty University, right? Because Liberty's all about ring before spring. They want to get you married, start procreating, make little Christians running everywhere. That's what they want. That's what they're trying to do at Liberty. Okay, so it's true. So I heard this advice so much: become the person that you want to marry. Okay, I am busting this myth, and here's the reason I'm busting this myth is because this is what I think it really should be about. Is how about I'm gonna go back? How about instead of saying that we're preparing ourselves for marriage or we're keeping ourselves pure for marriage, right? I've said this in working with guys in the issue of pornography, sexual immorality. I've said to them so many times, well, just think forward to your marriage, you know, think to that and go, this is why I want to remain sexually pure. This is why I don't want to look at pornography. And I realized as I was studying for this, I'm like, this is the wrong motive. If we're always preparing for marriage, well, then what happens when our expectation is blown? because we've saved ourselves from marriage. We haven't had sex before marriage. Or we stopped looking at pornography. And so that was our goal, though. We're just thinking, well, if I do this and this and this, I'm really waiting until I get in marriage. And then all of a sudden, the marriage part hasn't happened. And you're like, your expectations are blown. And then we get mad at God. We get frustrated at God. Like, well, why isn't this happening? And so I think instead of us going, prepare yourselves, keep yourselves pure, preparing yourself, become the person you want to marry, how about we just say we're keeping ourselves pure for the Lord? I think that's what it ultimately is. It's just the simplicity of going, my life is for the Lord. He wants me to glorify him. This is what he's called me to be. Is there a ton of benefits that come from walking with the Lord? There's a ton. But I just want to encourage you that I don't think our focus and in marriage or single should be, well, I'm trying to keep myself pure for this person or this thing that's coming. But ultimately, am I staying pure? Am I becoming the person that God wants me to be for the simplicity? That's who God wants me to be. And that's really the foundational level of it. If you can get to that point and just go, God, I just want to be who you want me to be because you love me, that's when you start seeing some cool things happen, because your expectation will always be met by what the Lord wants and not by what the world wants. So I want to turn and go, I think there is a couple struggles in the area of singleness, and it actually goes to, I think, this verse. No, I want to hit one more thing on the area, sorry, in the area of keeping ourselves pure solely for the Lord and becoming the person we want to marry solely for the Lord, because this is the greatest commandment. A lot of you have probably heard this. I'm going to read it. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, so that you will be the person that you want to marry. No, it's not in there, right? He doesn't give that. He doesn't say that. And he doesn't go on and say, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, so that you can have a great marriage. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. It doesn't say that. When he says, here's the greatest commandment, he says it's simply to love the Lord your God and to love others. Is there benefits for that in marriage? There totally is. Is there benefits for that in singleness? There totally is. But Jesus said, these are the two greatest commandments, not because I'm ultimately preparing you for marriage, but because I'm just preparing you to be a servant of God. And so it ultimately is that simple. And I hope that truth encourages you today, that you're seeking the Lord for the pure sake of seeking God, because he's God. So I do think there's some struggles in the area of being single, and there's two of them. I think the first one is the area of sexual temptations. You know, we're created as sexual beings. That's how God created us. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination. But that is a real struggle. If that's how we're created, and when we're called to be single, that is going to be a struggle. And I think the second area is this area of loneliness. Because you look around, even right now in high school, you look around at your friends around you that are in relationships, and you think, that's what I'm missing. I'm missing that. I don't have this. I know there's people in this room that hurts, because they look around and the world tells them they should have a relationship. And so I think the area of sexual temptation and loneliness are two real battles and struggles that you will have as God has you in the area of singleness. But here's what I think is really cool, is that the answer or the cure for those two things are found in relationships, but in friendships. Not in I've got to have a dating relationship, but it's cool when you think about the area of sexual temptation. If you surround yourself with say, for guys and girls both, if that's a struggle, you surround yourself with people that are seeking and trying to live out the way that God wants, man, that's an encouragement when you're around those people. Because like, these people are trying to live the same thing. They want to do it. So it's friendships in that way. And the area of loneliness, man, the area of loneliness is met by friendships. So I would just encourage you in this time of singleness that God has for you, however long it is, to go, man, am I pursuing genuine Christian friendship and fellowship? Am I making that a real priority in my life? And so I think the great need when we're single, when God has us in this time of singleness, is friendship. And if you, I want to go to the story of David and Jonathan. It says this: as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. And then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Man, I can tell you that a deep friendship with someone of the same gender is one of the most satisfying things that you could find. When I was in high school, I did not have really deep friendships. Big part of it was because I wasn't walking with the Lord. I had a ton of friends, but nothing deep. And when I got to Liberty and started pursuing the Lord and walking with him, God brought two guys into my life. One of them was my best man, and another one was in my wedding party, and there's still two guys that I talk to this day. It's because they love the Lord. And that is a deep friendship that I had. And that was great in those times of college where I was single, just spending time with those guys, growing in the Word, growing as men. So I would just encourage you to find brothers and sisters in Christ and enjoy those relationships to the fullest, without looking for any kind of dating or marriage thing, but just pursue those and love those. And so here's where I want to end with this verse, and then I got one other thing I want to do. But Romans 12, 3-5 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And I want to end with that verse because I just want to say it again. Marriage, singleness, they're the same in God's eyes. He says they are both a gift, and I have reasons for both of them. And so even in this group, as there's some that date here, there's some that don't, I think it can become easy to go, well, the people that date, they got something that I don't. And God says, no, I've got something special for both of you, and it's a gift for both of you. So now I'm going to bring up probably the most special guest that I could bring up to share from her life in the area of singleness, and that would be my beautiful wife, Wendy.